Okay, good evening. I have the topic of hope. I don't have too much prepared on just on what hope really is, maybe a little bit, but I looked up quite a few references that referred to hope, and then I'll have a few thoughts on some of those. When I read this verse, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So why is hope not the greatest one? Well, in one sense, faith and hope will be done away with when we reach heaven, because faith will be swallowed up in actual sight, and hope will be swallowed up by actual enjoyment. So what is hope? We have to know what a definition of hope is. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation, or to desire with expectation of attainment, or to expect with confidence. So we're expecting something. That's what hope is. It's expecting. It's looking forward to something. So what is the difference between faith and hope? People say that you have faith in God. Some people say you have hope in God. So there has to be a difference between the two. Well, in studying for this, I had to look up a little bit of what faith was. And faith is, by faith alone, we are sure of something. We know that something is. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, if we think of God, we know, we have faith in God that He is real. But hope, okay, so faith is a surety of things that are, but hope is a confidence that we can have those things. So if we look forward to heaven, we look forward to eternal life, we have hope for that. It's not just that we have faith that it is real, but we have hope that we can obtain that as well. So why is hope mentioned here? I believe it is a necessity for salvation. And why is that? In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So when I read this verse, I was like, "You're saved by hope? What? That doesn't sound quite right." So I looked up a couple other translations. And one of them I really liked said, "For in this hope we are saved." So we're looking forward to something. When I accepted Christ, what did I look for? And it was for eternal life, to be saved from sin. That's what I was hoping for. And that's how I was saved. And I think that's why it's mentioned here, and that's why it's a necessity for our salvation. You know, how can we be saved from something if there's nothing to be saved to? That's what we're looking forward to. In Romans chapter 5, a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So hope is mentioned a couple times. Once at the beginning here, when we're justified by faith, and we have that hope. And then in verse 4, where it says that experience brings hope, as we're proving our faith, we have more hope. We have hope for more and greater things. We don't have just hope to be saved from our sins and that we can have eternal life, but as we're proving our faith, we can have hope for eternal rewards as well. In verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed," where it's not a false hope. It is a true hope. There's a lot of things in this world that people put their hope or faith into, but it's false. It's going to fade away. It will end. But God's promises are sure, and we can believe that. So why should we have hope? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8 says, "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So simply put, God says we have to have hope. If we only have faith, when we go through trials, we can sometimes lose sight of the end. Because as we mentioned before, as we established, you know, faith is just knowing that something is true. But if we're going through trials and temptations, then we can lose sight of the end. But if we have hope, if we have something that we're looking forward to, that can help to keep our faith strong, or it can rekindle our faith if we start to doubt. Hope is what keeps us going sometimes. Right after Norvin asked me to have this topic, someone sent me this story. It was like 5 minutes afterwards, so I was just kind of overwhelmed by this. This was kind of interesting. But the story of four candles. Four candles slowly burned. The ambience was so soft, one could almost hear them talking. The first candle said, "I am peace. The world is full of anger and fighting. Nobody can keep me lit." Then the flame of peace went out. The second candle said, "I am faith. But I am no longer indispensable. It doesn't make sense that I stay lit another moment." And then a breeze blew out faith's flame. The third candle began to speak sadly. "I am love, but people don't understand my importance, so they put me aside. They even forget to love those who are nearest to them." And waiting no longer, love's flame went out. Suddenly a child entered the room and saw the three unlit candles. "Why aren't you burning? You're supposed to stay lit until the end." Saying this, the child began to cry. The fourth candle answered, "Don't be afraid. I am hope. While I am still burning, we can relight the other candles." And with shining eyes, the child took the candle of hope and lit the other candles. And I was thinking of the same thing that Jordan was talking about, you know, these Christians that are being persecuted around the world. Their faithfulness is bringing a lot of people to the realization that God is real, and it's bringing them to Christ. But it's also that hope that they have that's shining out through them, I believe. And it can light the candles around us, too, if we're willing to share our hope. I was going to look up that reference, and I couldn't find it, the one of, you know, be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that is within you. You need to be ready with that. So where does our hope come from? Had a couple references here. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So it's God that gives us hope. It's not something that we're doing ourselves. It's only from God. 1 Peter 1 Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And Titus 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath..." must write on the wrong one. But God has, he gives us a lively hope, not a dead hope, not something that's going to go away, but it's a true hope that's going to last forever. So, as I was thinking about this too, what am I hoping for? I had to think about that in my own life. And I just wanted to read, there's a passage in Revelation, so I want to read it a little bit there, but just to kind of give us an idea of what we're hoping for, what we're looking forward to, and maybe just to encourage you to where we are headed if we keep our hope in faith in Christ. Revelation chapter 21, I'll read verses 9 through chapter 22, verse 5. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald. I'll skip down to verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So it's just a small picture of what we have to look forward to. And I appreciated that first song that we sang tonight, the chorus, "When we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." You know, isn't that what we're hoping for? Isn't that what we're looking forward to? I had one last reference here that I wanted to look at. Romans 15, verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You know, in chapter 15 of Romans, there's several times where Paul refers to God as, if I can remember some of them, but one of them is just the God of hope. He has these names for God. And just think of that, God of hope, such a beautiful name. And it's only through God's power that we can have hope of eternal life. It's nothing that we can do. It's only through God. And then we can experience this new city. And it's not just that, but you know, that we'll see God, we'll see our Savior, and we'll be with him forever. That is truly what I'm hoping for. I hope that's your prayer as well.